Well, I don't know what the penalty is for messing up the Lord's Supper. The song says God makes no mistakes, and I'm going to do my best. So, because I've been here for a long time, but I have never done the Lord's Supper. And so, it'll be all right. I can remember the days when, you know, when you have small children, and some of you know what I'm talking about, when it's time to pack. You don't worry about the crackers. It's the juice. And, you know, if you have enough of them and they're passing it down and you're just looking there and you're wondering and you try to position your kids in such a way that the little ones don't have it there, and your prayer life increases as it goes across and it gets done there. And I can remember the last few years, there's times I'd sit back over there and there were several of the young married couples and I was watching them with their kids and I could see the stress. You know, you could see the sweat coming down in the veins and all that and the relief as the juice would pass on by and get to the next one there. And you know, I do say this, I have never seen that happen before. But just so you know, if it does, we do have a carpet cleaning machine in the back. So if it does ever happen to you or one of your children, it'll be fine. We can clean it up and we are prepared for that there. But if you would take your Bibles tonight and open up with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, I don't really want to do too much different tonight, but what I decided as I was looking through, you know, just starting in 1 Corinthians 11 and beginning to read and study through there, was to begin in verse 17 and just kind of run a little bit of a commentary for you. All the way down maybe through verse 28, not taking too awful long with it, but there were some things in there. You know, you look at things differently. You know, it's one thing to come to the Lord's Supper. I remember the last time we had the Lord's Supper and preacher told me I had to do it. Whoever was around me thought I was really spiritual because I had my iPad and my little keypad, and man, I was typing for all I could go. And it was the last part because I was trying to get all the instruction, you know, the order that it goes in. And I was typing all that stuff out so I'd have it down there for him because I was looking at it. I was like, well, you know, he's done it forever. He just gets up and he's so smooth and just one thing to the other and doesn't forget anything. And I'm like, man, there's more steps to this than what a thought. So I was trying to get it all down and write it down there. So we'll be all right. We'll be all right. So but let's begin reading here. We'll read just all the way through. We'll read verses 17 through 28. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that ye come together, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye were come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? Shall I say to you, shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. And after the same matter also, he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Let's pray tonight. Father, we do thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, for what it represents and what it means and what it should be to us. So, Father, we ask you to bless the reading of thy word and all that we say and do. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in verse 17, let's go back to it. Verse 17, really, as I was studying through this, you know, it's one of those verses where, you know, you've read and you've seen it over and over, but it kind of struck me as I was studying through this when Paul says, now in this that I declare unto you, he says, I praise you not that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. Now you think about that. He is telling them that them coming together as a church body was making them worse than what they were before. Now, we don't usually think about that, but you look at what the passage says right there. I praise you not that ye come together, not for the better, but for the worse. Now, we're familiar with this passage, but when you look at that right there, it's one of those things that kind of calls attention and makes you want to stop and think a little bit and say, you know what, when I come to the Lord's Supper, there is a choice. You know, I can come and be for the better, or there is that other option to be for the worse. And now as we go through this, we'll look at some of the things we're familiar with and what was going on with them, but we're going to make a little bit of application in this as we go there, because, you know, we've heard the messages here lately dealing with Baal worship and religion and things like that. We can agree and look at that. Some of those folks coming together, they probably better off not coming at all. You know, are there people that attend and hear things that they'd be better off sitting at home? And, you know, we think about that, and it's kind of, it's hard. I know it's hard to say amen to that, because it's like, well, you know, there's three different groups in every dispensation. There is the religious, there's the rebellious, and there's the righteous. And that is our job, and that is what we strive for, is to be part of the righteous. But we understand here with the church at Corinth and what had been delivered to them and what they were doing with it, there was a problem. Now, you get to verse 18, you look at the first four words. He says, for first of all. Now, that's not a good start. That means there could be, there's more than one, and you don't know how many things he's getting ready to deal with them, and the fact that you're going to church and you're congregating together, and we're going to see you're participating, well, I would say in the Lord's Supper, but in essence, we're going to see they weren't participating in the Lord's Supper. They were doing something that was called that. They were doing something that they thought was that. But in essence, they are dealt with according to Scripture and told that they are not there. For first of all, I always hated it when my parents started off when I got in trouble. It wasn't just what I did. It was, well, first off, and you just don't know how many second, third, fourth, or fifth, Tim, you know what I'm talking about. And all those different things that you'd have to get dealt with there. And, you know, when you got in trouble and the things that your parents knew. So Paul's talking to them, for first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. And he makes this other statement, and I partly believe it. Now, if once again, if my parents were talking to me and it was during a time when I had done something wrong, and they start off with a first of all, and then they say, well, you said that you were here, or you said that you did this, that, or the other. Paul is saying, from what I am hearing, it's bad enough that I don't know what I exactly believe in what I have heard. Because I have heard this and I've heard this, and he's making a reference back to the divisions. You know, if you turn back quickly, just go back over to Romans chapter 1 and look at that familiar passage. And really, before we look at verses 11 and 12, look at verse 10. Because really, verse 10 is a good description of what ought to come from the body of Christ coming together and participating in the Lord's Supper. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly, completely joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. But then he goes on, for it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul and of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, Peter, and I of Christ. And he goes on, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? So back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we see that there were divisions, that there were contentions. Him saying, I partly believe it. There was a lack of trust and honesty there in what he was dealing with. And then you get to this next verse in verse 19. And it says, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Now you stop and you read that verse in your own heart and mind about three or four times, and you might look at it and say, well, what exactly is he saying right there? You know, in the context where he is dealing with them in their disobedience and their divisions and all this going on. But then he makes this statement, for there must be also heresies among you. But you know it's a difficult passage when you go to the commentaries and they skip around it. You know, when they get there and they'll cover a little of this and a little of that, but then it's like you never really, really get a clear answer. And generally when you see that, you're just going to have to take a little bit of time and pray about it and read back over it until you really get something on it, because it's easy to look at that verse and say, for there must also be heresies among you. And when we think of something being a heresy, we think of something that contradicts the truth of Scripture, right? You know what they called Pastor Payne in Bible college? He was called a heretic. And he was right. See, sometimes in the religious circles, to be called a heretic by somebody who is incorrect makes it a positive title there. But then on the other side, if somebody's directly a heretic because they are directly going against Scripture there. So as Paul is talking to them, he says, for there must. He didn't say nobody, anybody told me this. He said, based upon what I've heard, this has to be there. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest, displayed, seen, separated out among you. You know, as I looked at it and thought about it and kind of read over it, and then you start thinking about it, you know, what Paul's saying, it's like, there's got to be somebody in the midst of all that dumb stuff that y'all are doing over there and all that mess that you're creating, somebody ought to have enough sense and enough biblical truth and enough logic that they should stand out and you should be able to see the difference. You know, that's a good, see, something, it's easy to miss that. But see, that's part of how grace operates. It's biblical truth and common sense and logic. That's what makes it so good, is that you can use all those things together. Paul's looking at them and he is telling them, okay, you're coming together, and for what you're doing, you're worse off than if you didn't do it at all. And then he says, you come together and there's these divisions among you, and I partly believe it. He says, but this is, we've got to have this. For there must be also heresies among you. Somebody has got to be seeing this the right way and looking around and noticing the different, and maybe not participating or whatever the case might be there. That they which are approved, those that are right, may be made manifest, would be displayed, stuck out there among you. And then he goes back in verse 20. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. You're coming together and you're doing something, but whatever you're doing is not the Lord's Supper. So we see Paul utilizing just plain talk here and some logic and just kind of giving this out to them to say, okay, you should have more sense than this. From what I gave you to where you are now, you know better, but in the midst of it, you can't even tell the difference amongst yourself versus those that are in your group and doing right. Because there's one following here, one here, one here, one here, and nobody could figure it out. There was confusion. And within that confusion, people started doing their own thing there, and it was a mess. So he identifies it very clearly. What you're doing is not the Lord's Supper. So you can read in some of the Bible history books there, these feasts of charity is probably what they were doing. Let's read the next two verses. And preachers covered this before. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. No. For what you're doing, say, well, we're doing something. It's so bad, you should not do anything. You're so bad that you'd be better off if you were doing nothing at all. It's become such a negative there. But in some of the different things that you read when it talks about those feasts of charity, one of the things that I read said that it was a time where as the body would come together, you would take, people would bring in food, kind of like what we do at a fellowship, and there was plenty for everybody. But what they would also do is if you look in verse 22, it says, what have you not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? Those that would have not might have been represented during that time as the servants. Those that didn't have as much financially. We're not talking about where we're at today. You got to think back to where they were, and you've got masters and you got servants, and the servants don't own anything. All they have is what they get from the master's table. They can't go to, you know, oh, it's fellowship time. Let's go to the store and get some stuff and bring it in there. Well, all their food was provided by the master, so they wouldn't be able to bring everything else in. So it was a time that they were supposed to come together and have some equality as the body of Christ, where there wasn't one elevated above another there, that they would just come together and have a meal together and fellowship together and not be so concerned about master or servant or where they're at. Because see, there's the other side to that. We've been studying this in my Sunday school class. So for y'all that aren't in there, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul deals with an issue that Timothy's going to have to deal with. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. It goes down to talk about in verse 5 at the end of it. Supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. There were those that were teaching during that time, and it got their doctrine all kind of messed up, because they were saying, well, okay, well, if we're part of the body of Christ, even though this is my master and he's a believer and a part of the body, and I'm the servant and I'm a believer and I'm part of the body, well, now that we're both in the body, then I shouldn't have to serve him anymore. It's like, well, so I guess if you're a husband, you don't have to be a husband anymore either. Or if you're a parent or a child, because remember, you go to Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6, and you got those three different relationships that allow people in this age to bring glory to God in those roles as husband and wife, the husband representing Christ as the head, the wife as the body, parents as the head, children as the body, and then it goes on to talk about masters and servants, and it gives them the instructions as they're supposed to operate in, how they're supposed to treat each other in the midst of that. But see, you have those that were servants that were taking the mystery in that doctrine, and they were trying to corrupt it and use it to their advantage and to their own lust. But now over here, you've got folks on the more wealthy side that says, okay, what am I going to do? I'm going to go ahead and I will bring my own supper in, and I'm going to let everybody else watch me eat it so they can know who I am and what I'm not. So this was the type of mind, because when you think about that, read the passage again. Verse 21, for in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunken and full and had all they could have. Why? Because those that were the owners and had things could bring it all in, and they had that liberty, but yet those servants couldn't. Those servants were dependent within those churches on this, so they could come together and didn't have to worry about that for a little while. It's like, we can just come together. We're not at work. We don't have to worry about those titles. We'll just come together and be one right here in the body for this little amount of time. But the next day, we're going to go back to work, and it's going to be time to get the job done. You're going to be the master. You're going to be the servant. And this is the way you're going to have to do it there. So Paul had laid out these things very clearly. But see, this was, you know, sometimes if you ever wonder, why is Pastor Payne so nitpicky about things? Why does he have to go into to such detail and be so technical with the Bible there? Well, we see an evidence in these two passages of people that took truth and it turned from the righteous into the religious, because they would manipulate that truth, trying to do so to their own advantage, and it was incorrect and it was wrong there. So we come back over here to verse 23. He says, and this very important, verse 23, preachers had you mark it before, I got it marked in my Bible. It's a very dispensational passage where he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." Understanding that God got the mystery from Paul. He did not get this. He's not just, now see, there is some of this. Is there similarities and is there an example to going back to what Christ did, because he's quoted right here and what went on there, but he makes a distinction to say, we're not just doing what they did. What we're doing right now is different from what they did. And the importance of that is not just being nitpicky and trying to show the difference. Think about this. Those disciples that were sitting there and partaking of that had no idea what they were doing. They didn't even believe he was going to go to the cross. They didn't believe he was going to be arrested. They believed he was the Messiah. But, you know, what he had given to them in Matthew chapter 19 when he told them, okay, for the first time, I'm going to share with you that I'm going to be arrested and I'm going to be taken and I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be resurrected. And first part of the chapter, he looks at Peter and says, you know, Peter, who do men say that I am? Well, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon this rock, Peter, I'll build my church. And then Christ makes this proclamation and Peter says, not so, Lord. You're wrong. And the Lord looks at Peter, who was the rock, and told him to get thee behind me, Satan. And if you study from that point all the way till he denies him, Peter's a mess. And the rest of the disciples are a mess. That's why they didn't like what Mary Magdalene did. That's why they denied him. That's why they fell asleep in the garden. That's why they're asking dumb questions like, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus is. That's who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Why are you asking dumb questions? Because their mindset wasn't right and they weren't believing and they got worse and worse and worse. So these guys, they're sitting there, had the Passover, and now they're having the Lord's Supper, and they're just confused. They're all going to take when they come and Judas denies him. What are they going to do? After that ear gets cut off, he says, well, we don't know how to fight this the way we know how to fight. So we're going to do the next best thing. We're going to run. And they take off and they run. However, when it comes to us, and you look at this passage, let's read verses 23 through 25. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Now, when we go to Matthew chapter 26, and we partake of the Lord's Supper, and we read that passage, we'll see that. But what we're not going to see is where it says, this do in remembrance of me. When we come together for the Lord's Supper, it's about us doing this in remembrance of him. Us not being in the place of the disciples where they were right in the middle of it, and they were distraught, and they were confused, and they didn't know everything that was going on there. We have our completed Bible. We know why Christ died. We know why he was buried. We know why he was resurrected there. We understand that he's not just Messiah to us. He's our head. He's our king. He was our sacrifice. He was the one that died for us there. Thus, we take that, and we do it in remembrance of him. You take, you know, isn't it easy just to sit there and when it's passed, you take that little bitty square. Sometimes you look at it. Sometimes you play with it. Sometimes you drop it. And you blow it off and you eat it anyway. But see, we're looking at a passage where they were combining these feasts of charity with the Lord's Supper and bringing it together. And they weren't even doing the feast of charity right. They were so messed up. And because they didn't see it right and they didn't do it right, and their mindset wasn't right, then they were accused of coming together and it not being for the better, but it was for the worse there. See, for us today, we have to be careful. You know, we put the Lord's Supper on the calendar. It conveniently falls on the fifth Sunday. So we do it then. We show up on Sunday night because we generally show up on Sunday night because we have church on Sunday night. Now, we're not doing the Feast of Charity. We're not doing a lot of the things that they were doing. But the question we have to ask ourselves is that when we walk out of the Lord's Supper, are we better? Are we better? Have we done those things that we're told to do? And we get down to these familiar passages here in this outline that Pastor's given us here. You get to verse 26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till I come. And from that, we see that there is a backward look, that remembrance of me looking back to what he did upon the cross till he come. We're looking forward, that upward look, that's directional. This forward look into time of when he's going to come back and get us at the rapture or get us out of the grave, whichever one fits us there. And then there is that inward look as we look. Verse 27, wherefore whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. That inward look. The backward, upward, forward, and inward look. We look back to the cross, we look forward to his coming, and inwardly we look at our condition. We look at where we are at. The purpose of what we do is to be able to come together and to remove the divisions and create that unity. See, the only time that we can have true unity as the body of Christ is when we come together. I mean, we can be okay with one another all over the planet if we're separated, but there's something that brings God glory and brings him pleasure when we as his people physically come together. And then mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, we have that lack of division and contention, and we come together in unity. And see, as a whole, just like when we sing together. I mean, I can sing on my own, and it brings God glory. But I think it brings him a different glory when we're all in here together, singing together as the body. Thus, if we come together and we have a remembrance of what he did for us, if we take time and we are collectively all looking at that little wafer and seeing that is the body of Christ, and we go back in our mind to Matthew chapter 27 and we go through that passage and we see all of the physical abuse that Christ went through for us as he took that sin and became our sin and bore it in his own body that we might have life there. For us to be able to look at that and do that together individually, but at the same time collectively, that brings a glory that could only take place right here and right now. For what we're doing right now and knowing why we do it, that backward look and doing it collectively as the body of Christ there. And then even thinking about that, as you're thinking about that time, you know, what he went through, and then the smile should come about. We think, yeah, but when he comes again, they ain't gonna do that to him. He ain't gonna step foot on the planet when he comes to get me. I don't have to be here when he comes for house cleaning time, 7 years or however long later it is than that. When he comes back in his second coming and passes judgment and sets up his kingdom upon the earth. But before that, the trumpet's going to sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And hopefully, and not based upon the eclipse, but we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. We take that and we consider that body and we consider that cup and that blood that was shed that we might be free, that we might be forgiven, that we might have our eternal place in heaven there. You know, that's where it becomes important that we don't just come to the Lord's Supper as a religious exercise. We come to get better. We come to leave different. We come to have a mindset that we don't always have. and to have the opportunity. Just the same way as a husband, I have an opportunity to bring glory to God by loving my individual wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I have an opportunity to bring glory to him in that specific way that I can't do any other way. Thus, what we do tonight is with that same mindset. We come together as the body. We look at all this stuff they did, and it's like, man, they're terrible. Man, they're bad. But then we're reminded, it's like, but we may not be for the worse, but are we for the better? If we're going to be for the better, we're going to have to do it on purpose with a purpose there. So if you'll go ahead and take your Bibles and turn over to Matthew chapter 26. As you're turning there, we're going to take a little bit of time of silent prayer. And this is the time to examine yourself. And remember this, when you examine yourself and there's something that needs to be fixed, you apply repentance. That's work. What starts here might need to go home and be completed. But each one of us, as we come together, we have a personal responsibility. But what we're also doing is making ourselves in such a way that we can be perfectly joined together as the body, as it talked about there in chapter 11. So let's take some time and let's pray, and then I'll close us out.